Would like to read today from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, first seven verses. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him that diligently, of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. This is that passage that I wanted to read, and now we can look up to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in our weak faith we look up to Thee, and we pray, Lord, that Thou strengthen in us that faith which Thou hast given, faith in Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior, faith in Thee, our Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, faith in Thy Holy Word, and the guidance and instruction of Thy Holy Spirit. Gracious Lord, our Mighty God, we pray that Thou give us such a faith that does not depend on anything but Thee. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we remember that there were many people acting in faith that seemed to be very strong, and they failed miserably. Many murderers believed that by their murders and bloodshedding they were going to accomplish fortune, happiness for them and for the others. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we see that human faith is always weak, regardless how strong it might appear. But only that faith that relies on Thee, on Thy word, on Thy power, on Thy truth, can be strong. And that faith we pray, O Lord, that Thou give to Thy children today, and that Thou in our hearts strengthen that faith. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, keep us from the deception that is in the world, from the treachery of the deceiver, from confidence in human power, human righteousness, human foolishness. O gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou give us faith that cometh from Thee. The same faith, O Heavenly Father, that Thou hast given to Abel to offer the right sacrifice. Grant us that faith, O Lord, that we may offer up our life and living, heart and mind, soul and body, upon that altar of true faith, that we may belong unto Thee, O Lord. Give us that faith that Thou hast given to Thy servant Noah to build the ark for the salvation of his family and to be the father of a new world that Thou was creating, Lord. Give us that faith that can endure unchanged, not wavering, even when all the world, religious, perverted, ignorant, self-confident, is crying, mocking, laughing against that faith. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for such a faith as Thou hast given to our father Abraham, to forsake his nation, his country, and to go toward the land that he knew not. Faith that trusted in Thee, faith that is looking up forward to that great and wonderful reward that Thou wilt give to everyone for whom Thou hast battled and Thou hast gained the victory. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray for that kind of faith, the saving faith, faith in Thy goodness and grace, faith in the salvation on the merit of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in redemption by His offering and His atonement. Faith, O Heavenly Father, that will not be fruitless on the path of righteousness. That kind of a faith that brings forth fruit in love, in patience, in expectation of Thy glorious return. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, only Thou canst give such a faith, that this faith in our hearts may be the evidence, the token of Thy great and wonderful salvation that Thou hast proclaimed, initiated and accomplished in Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. O grant us Thy loving Lordship, Thy perfect Mastership, and Thou, O Father, cast out of our hearts and out of our mind all the doubts and fears, anxieties, everything that is the seed of our enemy, the weakness of the flesh, and that Thou grant, O Heavenly Father, that we follow the Savior and in His steps that we walk, upholding the teaching that Thou hast given to us in the Gospel books recorded, in the Acts of the Apostles, in the Epistles, in the Revelation. O, enlighten our minds and fill our hearts with Thy Spirit, Lord, and give us grace and power to worship Thee in our faith. O blessed Lord, we pray for that kind of a faith that Thou hast given to the beggar Lazarus, forsaken, left alone by everyone. And in his poverty, in his starvation, in his sickness, in his dying, thou hast preserved him through that faith in thee. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, grant us that faith, that thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, in our hearts as it is in thy kingdom. And be thou our King of kings and Lord of lords, that through thee we may be victorious, that from thee we may receive thy victory, a victory over sin and death, victory over Satan and the world. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, bless our faith, multiplying the fruits of thy Spirit, the good deeds of righteousness, and with that faith and confidence in thee, thou make us calm and strong, peaceful and joyful, joyfully expecting the glorious return of our blessed Redeemer. Amen. I remember once yet I don't remember exactly when and how that happened, but it did happen that two young men asked me a question. They had an argument, they had a discussion. One was very urgent or very strong to say that we are saved by faith and faith alone without anything else. The other one, that we are saved only by the grace of God. And so they wanted me to tell them, I was saved by faith, and if I said we are saved by grace, then the other one who was proposing that faith is the only way of salvation, I would say, well, here in the scripture it says we are saved only by faith. And if I said, yes, we are saved by faith alone, then that other one who is supporting the grace of God would prove that only by the grace of God we are saved. And both are in the scripture. The salvation by faith alone and the salvation by the grace of God alone. And I didn't want to tell them, you are not really interested in the truth of the Bible, you are interested only in gaining your argument, proving that you are right. You are not interested in the scripture, but in some of your momentary earthly gain or something. I didn't want to be very harsh with them, so I answered, when you drive a car, do you drive it by the wheels or by the steering? How do you drive the car? When you ride a bike, do you ride it by the pedals or by the wheels? See, you are asking a question that is unreasonable. We are saved by the grace of God, and that grace of God we can receive only by faith, and by such a faith that we receive from God. And as I was turning away from them, I heard them arguing among themselves. He didn't answer. they were arguing, they were not discussing. They didn't seek the truth of the Lord, but rather their own right. And that's not according to the faith, and that's not by the grace either. So, it's true that we are saved by faith, not by the works of the law. That's what the scripture is telling us. And we are saved by the grace of God, not by our conviction, not by the faith that we could figure out, not by the faith that we can create. Human faith brought a kamikaze down on an American military ship, believing that as soon as he exploded in numberless pieces, he will be in paradise. Was he ever in paradise? No, he certainly did explode. Today, there are people that believe if they attach an explosive to their own body and detonate that in the presence of some other people that they want to kill, next moment they will appear in paradise and Allah is going to give them all the blessings. Is he? First, he doesn't have any blessings. He does not exist. And that kind of a faith is human imagination. The prophets of Baal must have had some faith when they prayed to their idol, Baal, oh Baal, hear us. And they did that for a long time. Their faith was so strong that they were willing to shed their own blood for that faith. Just that faith somehow would be proven the true faith. Was it proven? Nope. Nothing. No matter how strong human faith is, it's worthless. It's useless. The faith that we read about here is faith that God gives in the heart of those whom He has chosen. Every other faith is the faith of human beings, those who know not God, those who reject the truth of God. But I think that the translation that I have here in this version of English Bible translation is rather difficult. The first verse here in chapter 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." I'm not sure that there was no better way of translating that. Perhaps the faith is the substance of the hope for things that we hoped for. Maybe. In Serbian translation, we read that faith is steadfast expectation of the things that we wait for, something like that. And I wish at the moment that I did search a little bit more, because there are other translations. But in any case, faith is the gift of God that is given to those that seek God's salvation. Now, can somebody come to the Lord without believing the Lord? Can somebody believe the Lord without coming to the Lord? You see, we quickly end up in an hopeless situation. At least I do. If I don't rely on this one fact, God only can give the true faith in the hearts and minds of the human beings. I remember the man that came and asked healing for his child, and the Lord said, "If thou canst believe, everything is possible for him that believes." And the man said, "Lord, my belief, help thou my unbelief." Is there any true faith in the heart of God's people without any fear, any doubts? I fear there isn't, and I doubt there is. You see? There is always something to overcome. Always something to battle against, as long as we are in this flesh that once fell into sin. The sinful nature, sinful tendencies, sinful inclinations remain in that flesh. And consciously, intentionally, prayerfully, and relying on the power that God only can supply, we battle against the sinful inclinations, against the doubts and fears. And we search in the scripture to know what is the will of God. We pray for the guidance of His Holy Spirit, and then wholeheartedly we strive to serve Him wholeheartedly. Faith is very substantial. It's not just a thought. It's not just an idea. You see, there is an idea. I don't like to be political, to sound political. I believe I'm not. And it's not my interest to support one political line against another and so on, but some are more obvious in their folly and the other ones are not that apparent, that visible, and maybe more dangerous. But in any case, we remember that so many decades ago there were two people like Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, and they got an idea of a perfect human society. They're going to make something that they called socialism, leading to communism, and when that is obtained, the whole world will be like one nation. There won't be any more war, only peace. And the people, everyone will produce as much as each one can, and everyone will consume and use of the common good as much as each one needs, and there will be happiness forever and ever. Was it? Was there something like that? We that grew up under communism and socialism, we know how similar that can be to hell, not paradise. I think that in the times of old, Nebuchadnezzar believed that he is going to create a paradise, where he is going, Nebuchadnezzar the king was going to be the almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all the people will be happy as long as they serve him, practically worship him, consider him to be the Superman. Did he create such a kingdom? Well, not only that the Lord did not allow him, because among the many that worshipped his idol, Nebuchadnezzar's idol, there were three people that openly and freely declared, no, we are not going to worship this, whatever it is, abomination. What happened to King Nebuchadnezzar? He became like an animal. He lost his mind. In some way he reminds me at that stage of his life on the man that was denying the existence of God by proving to a believer that human beings were able by science and technical advances to create the things that never had been created before. And that disciple answered to him, human beings did not create anything. They only used the creation that God has created, and only as much as the true Creator allowed them. They did not create one atom. they cannot create anything. They only use the creation of God and reveal the things that God has in His power, that God has known since the beginning of eternity, which has no beginning. Now, as long as these words of the scripture are read, or these words are, as long as these words are read by someone who refuses to believe, there is no substance in them. For that man, for that mind, this is empty. He does not get anything out of that, because he refuses. He does not want to know. Many studied the scripture to prove that the Bible is not the word of God and that God is not real. And they read through the scripture and they did not find God in the Bible, of course. They were not looking for God. But they did not need to study the Bible in order to realize that God is, that God is real. All they need is to think about everything that is around us. Did they ever think in their foolish and darkened mind that this house across the street happened just because it happened? Nobody was building it, nobody designed it, it just happened to be there. No. When they look up in the tree and they see a nest, did they think that that nest just happened to be there? No. When they see a plant, did they ever believe that that plant is there just because it happened? There was no seed, no anything, no rain, no sunshine, it just happened. No, they don't think so. But for the greatest of all those creatures, the whole creation, they would like to prove that there is no creator. Why? Because they really can prove it? No. Because they really never conceived, never believed in their mind that there is a creator? No. But because if they acknowledge that the creator is real, they are responsible, they are guilty, they are wrong, they have to change their life, or they have to face the fact that they are on the way to hell, and that's unbearable. They try to forget the truth by believing in lies, by convincing one another that the lies are the truth. Faith. The true faith that we can receive from the Lord. The true faith is what we should pray for, ask for, seek. Ask to receive, seek to find. And that faith is revealed here in the scripture. That faith has the evidence of things not seen. We see the world and we don't see the Creator. But the world is the evidence of Creator's existence and action. I believe that even if I took much more time, I could not explain adequately, sufficiently, this verse. But I hope that I touched at least the surface of that deep truth, that saving faith is the gift of God. The faith of faithfulness in doing faith is the gift of God. That every step in faith toward perfection is a gift from the Lord. He is faithful. And when we pray, He will do as He promised. To them that seek, He will grant to find. To those that ask, He will give. By that faith, our ancestors received a good report. They obtained, they gained a good report. And by that faith, we today understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things that do rivers do not create the ocean, and ocean does not create the rivers. One part of the world cannot create another part of the world. God is the creator of everything. And He is the creator and the giver of the true faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by that faith he being dead yet speaketh. This is a big chapter in one verse. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What if Cain had greater faith, stronger faith than Abel? Was the offering of Abel acceptable to God because Abel had good faith? What does that mean? Through faith, or by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Suppose that Abel brought an offering that God did not command, that was not acceptable to God. But Abel had strong faith, sincere faith. He believed that a dog is just as good an offering as a lamb. Would Abel's faith be of any use? Absolutely not. Abel's faith was only manifested, demonstrated, revealed to other people, to Cain, in offering the proper sacrifice. But the faith of Abel was not in his sacrifice, but in the word of God, in the commandment of God, in the teaching of the Lord. And following that teaching, believing that the word of God is worthy of obedience, he obeyed, and that's the true faith. He offered that sacrifice better than Cain, but Cain also believed. If Cain did not believe that his sacrifice would be acceptable, he wouldn't have offered it. At least not in the sight of Abel, his brother, because for Cain it was very important that Abel considers Cain's offering even better than Abel's offering. We can see that when we read about Abel and Cain and Abel. When we read about the first two brothers offering sacrifices, it was of a great importance to Cain that his offering be manifestly confirmed as a good one, acceptable one. But the opposite happened. What was wrong with Cain's faith? Disobedience. Not offering a sacrifice that is pleasing to the Lord. You see, the deeds are only indicating what kind of faith is in the hearts of those that did what they did, in this case, offer sacrifices. When we believe the word of God, and we obeyed the word of God, and we followed in the steps of the true faith, and do the will of the Lord, we receive a testimony in our heart and mind that we are pleasing to God. And that's what happened in Abel's life, short life that he had on this earth. That faith is a living faith. The true faith remains as a testimony on this earth even after the departure of the faithful. God gave a clear indication that Abel's sacrifice is acceptable to the Lord, and that Cain's sacrifice was not received by the Lord. How did he speak, being dead? The Lord spake for him. The same God that gave Abel that faith is the one that speaks on Abel's behalf after Abel was murdered. The Lord asked Cain, "Where is thy brother, Abel?" And Cain answered, "I know not." Was that true? Maybe in a way. He really did not know where Abel was. That confirms the fact that Cain's faith was not godly faith. Abel was somewhere. Cain was blind for that direction, for that place. Where could Abel be? But what God asked him was, what happened to Abel? What have you done? Cain's answer indicates that Cain would like God not to know what happened. He would like somehow to shut God off out of his thinking. Why? For the same reason that Adam and Eve hid among the trees of the garden, because of transgression. He was guilty. He knew he was wrong. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Now, humanly speaking and humanly thinking, this is just not possible. Can someone by faith, his own faith, self-created faith, just leave the face of this earth and ascend up to God? Absolutely not. Human faith cannot achieve that. How did faith of Enoch translate him? How did faith of Enoch translate him that he see no death? Well, first, Enoch walked with God. He believed God. He obeyed God. He was a witness for the Lord. He proclaimed the word of God. He lived in obedience and faithfulness. And that faith and obedience was rewarded by God. Rewarded with a testimony that is so unusual, so remarkable, so outstanding. He was translated, transferred, moved away from this earth into life everlasting. See, when we consider that, when we think about that, it may seem to be very a wonderful thing, and it is. And we might have a desire, oh, I wish God would do that to me so I wouldn't have to die, just be transferred. And that's possible, if that is the will of the Lord. But before that translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So it's not the main point, the main question, whether shall I die and by death be translated, or in some other way, whether the Lord will come before I died and so I will be changed and my mortal body will change into an immortal body. That's not the main question. When? The main question is, what will happen in the end? Am I going to inherit the heavenly kingdom? Am I on the way of salvation or not? And that faith that keeps us going on the path of righteousness, the way of life and truth, that is the true faith. All that will live godly in this world will be persecuted, will have to suffer. The true faith is that gift of God and that power from the Lord that keeps the sufferers going on and following the Lord. Now here we read that without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This word diligently seeking the Lord is really special and worth of considering, thinking of. If we look into the historical books, we will find that Saul, the first king of Israel, died in battle because he disobeyed the word of God and he sought after the familiar spirits, the spirits of witchcraft, rather than seeking the Lord. What happened? Did not Saul seek the Lord? When Saul saw the Philistines against him with their armies, he was so afraid. He lived in disobedience to the word of God for such a long time that now he was not able even to pray to the Lord. And Saul asked the priest to seek an answer from the Lord, to give him some guidance, But the priest could not get any answer from the Lord. The Lord did not answer. And Saul sought some prophets of the Lord to receive some instruction, some guidance, and he could not find anyone. There is not the word of God for Saul. And then Saul said, find me a woman with familiar spirit, a woman that can use witchcraft to bring up from the dead Samuel, so I will talk to Samuel. I will compel Samuel to tell me what to do. Saul was wrong again. He cannot play a game with the Lord. He cannot force the Lord to give him a human being, even though a king, to give him an answer. Saul did not seek the Lord diligently. It was like talking to another man. Answer me, but if thou wilt not answer, I will find a woman with familiar spirit. That's not the way to seek the Lord. Saul should have fasted, should have prayed, should have cast himself at the feet of God's mercy and seek until he received. Then he would have found. For those that seek, they do find. So here we read that without faith it is impossible to please God. And I think that's reasonable, that's simple, that's clear. How can we please God in whom we have no faith? We don't believe him. We don't even know what he wants. We know not God, and we want to have some faith. That's impossible. Or we want to have a God in whom we need not believe, a God that will believe in us, that will serve us. No, that doesn't work. It is necessary, before we can please God, that we receive faith in God. Many people hear the word of God. A few believe and many don't. What is the difference? That's the same word. And they have same hearing. They hear the words. A few believed and many did not. Rebellion, rejection. Refuses the word of God, will not believe it. He that cometh to God must believe that God is real. Because if there is no God, where shall I come to? And whom shall I come to? Must believe that God is real in order to come to God. But that's not all. In order that we could come to God, we must also believe that the right thing, the good thing, the best thing is to believe God. For he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means there is a reward. There is a gain. It's better to believe than not believe. There was a very difficult time. A time when the truth of God was oppressed. When the deception of Satan was magnified and glorified. when the human pride and corruption were celebrated and the truth of God was despised and rejected, when the name of God was ascribed to demons, to the evil spirits, and the word of God was mocked, at such a time when the corruption and evil among the men was so rampant, so multiplied, awful, at such a time Noah lived. And I perceive that Noah's father was a faithful, godly man, and the grandfather was a faithful, godly man. And if that is the truth, they must have been all very much oppressed by the situation in the religious world of their days. Because the leaders of that world decided that God's love and loving kindness and goodwill makes all the men brothers and sisters. And there is nothing that God demands from them. Everything is free. So they were completely mixed with the godless people. But not all of them. Noah continued in the teaching of the Word of God. And he sought the true God. And God appeared to Noah and gave him, God gave to Noah the true faith. And then God revealed to Noah that the end of this present world is coming soon. That the Lord is going to judge the people for everybody corrupted his ways. Even the animals were corrupted by the humans. And God said to Noah to build an ark for the salvation of his family and the other creatures that will pass from this world into the new world that God will recreate through that ark built by Noah and his family. So even though Noah could not see God as he saw another man, Noah believed God. And even though Noah could not foresee that great destruction that God told to Noah about, by faith he obeyed God and he moved with fear, with desire to avoid, to escape the evil, the judgment of the Lord against the corruption of the mankind. And so Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his house. It was a long time. It was a big project. And they were working busily day by day. And it seemed to me that Noah invested all of his ability, all of his assets, his money, his property, his possessions, his time and strength. And his family was united with him in that same faith and obedience. and they built and they finished the ark. How were they going to catch, to hunt down all the animals? Easy for the domestic animals. You just take them and lead them into the ark. But what about the wild animals? He believed, Noah believed God, and God fulfilled his word. The animals came to Noah, and Noah received them into the ark. It was a huge project. And I think that the mockery of the others, those perhaps we can call them religious liberals of Noah's days, that the oppression was unbearable. But the true faith, by listening to the voice of God, avoids hearing too much of the voice of Satan. We could compare in the days of Elijah the prophet, the persecution that he suffered as a roaring tempest of the sea. But in the midst of that turmoil, that awful situation, God appeared to his faithful prophet in a gentle, soft voice. And because God has given faith to Elijah the prophet was able to hear the gentle, still voice clearly and to ignore, disregard the noise of a corrupted society. Here we read, they prepared an ark for the saving of their household, and doing that, acting in faith, serving the Lord, their faith, their good deeds condemned the rest of the world. And Noah became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The heir, to receive something that was given to his ancestors, to his fathers, forefathers. He received that to pass that on to the next generation, to believe in God and to obey him. That's a testimony. Noah's obedience could not create his faith, but the gift of faith that he received from the Lord produced that obedience. I believe that my words are very insufficient, but if we read this chapter perhaps many times, and if we pray for understanding, the Lord can reveal to us more than the words can express. Maybe a prayer, sincere and fervent prayer of each believer, that God would sustain, confirm, strengthen, enrich the faith that he has given into the hearts of his people. That Christ may richly dwell in our heart, in our daily walk, be clearly manifested as our Lord and Savior, and we confirmed, justified, his people. That we become a living testimony that his name is just not just a name that we have taken for ourselves, but that he has given us his name, that we be his family, his children. In the beginning of this chapter, chapter 11, verse 1, I read that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that reminds me that for the things not seen, the world around us needs some evidence. When we tell our friendly neighbors that we believe in Christ, we believe in God, we believe in the Word of God, that's not an evidence yet. The evidence of our faith is our work, our godliness, our practice, our application of the Scripture in our daily walk. That should be the evidence to the people around us and to one another. But God gave us a lot of evidence of His mighty work and His wonderful salvation. And that evidence is encouraging, strengthening our faith. And our faith reminds us of the evidences that God has given us. So that faith, true faith, faith that is confirmed by good deeds, is also an evidence that God was gracious to us and He gave us the true and sincere faith.